I know a lot of you have had this experience because for those of us who in 2020 were all sent home and we were stuck in a lockdown during the pandemic, we had a lot of time on our hands. And I saw an ad for Masterclass and I thought, I want to better myself. I want access to all of these brilliant people who teach you things. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with more than 200 plus of the world's best and smartest. For just under 10 bucks a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And I don't care, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to learn about business. And then another where you say, I want to learn how to survive in the wild if I have no water and no fire to make me warm. You can access Masterclass on your phone, on your computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And the classes totally make a difference. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Liz. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Liz. Masterclass.com/Liz. Welcome back to Everyone Talks to Liz. You guys, I have to give you some insight here. I just came from doing my Claim and Countdown show on Fox Biz, and I don't know what it is about today. It was totally insane. We had literally the best in the business guests. Rick Rieder, the top bond guru on Wall Street. The CEO of smartphone chipmaker Qualcomm. I mean, their stock was skyrocketing after a great earnings report. We had Gary Bettman, because why not have the commissioner of the National Hockey League? Are you kidding me? He came from such a modest means. He grew up in Queens. Today, he's the longest serving commish of a professional sports league. And then we had Peter McGinnis, the CEO of Impossible Foods, who just celebrated the company's 5th year anniversary of its partnership with Burger King. 5 years. This when everybody back then said, Burger King, that you will never get a burger chain to sell plant-based sandwiches. Oh, he did. And that was all in, well, minus commercials, 44 minutes of my show. Okay, so I'm sweating, right? The thing about the show is I don't often get time to tell their stories. That was the genesis of Everyone Talks to Liz, because I wanted to expound upon the background, the lead up to their success, the tale of their climb, the rocky parts, reluctant investors who kept saying, no, not going to invest, the detours that they had to take when sales were slow to non-existent, the sheer cliffs where they were hanging by their fingernails through near bankruptcy, and yes, you know what, sometimes falling into deep crevasses from which they did manage to climb out. But trying to succeed after not just the death of one important person in your life, but two? Can you imagine? My guest today was a powerhouse in the world of media. Before the term social media influencer was even a thing, she founded DBA, that stands for Digital Brand Architects, which was out there to recognize and the first to see the rise in dynamic media voices that weren't necessarily traditional celebrities, and then harness their potential as talent who can sell a product like no one else. And after dominating this industry for many years, she and her husband of 14 years, well, you know, it happens, they separated. But in the middle of all of it, he died. And then just 9 months later, her cousin was killed by a gunman during the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Florida. Horrific. After so much loss, she found herself totally bereft, grappling with grief and unable, you know, to really function. But one afternoon changed everything. Her friend came over with her 10-year-old daughter to visit one day, and what that child brought with her altered Karen Rabinowitz's entire life path. How could a squishy green substance Karen sat down to play with turn into piles of green, pink, yellow, all the colors, and a multi-million dollar business? Karen Rabinowitz of Slumu Institute is here with the slimy story. Welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that to me, that has me. That has me at hello.
It's a real story.
Oh, okay, I just want our listeners to know that Karen brought some vanilla pina colada scented Golden Hour. I love the names here. Golden Hour Slumu Slime.
I'm also playing with a slime that we did in partnership with the candy brand, Hi Chew.
Okay.
I mean, and it's white and pink, and it smells like strawberry vanilla ice cream.
Okay. Now you're squishing it to make the bubble sounds. You're talking to somebody who by accident ate Play-Doh because it smelled so good. What happens if I eat this stuff?
So don't eat it. Nothing will happen. You will probably have a little bit of a tummy ache, but I would say don't eat it. And you know who never eats it? Kids. Because I think kids understand innately that this is something that you squeeze and enjoy. It's always the adults where we have to say, don't eat it, don't eat it.
I find myself totally mesmerized pulling at this stuff. This is incredible. But that really is the genesis of the business itself.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of gave a lead in to what brought you to that point. But let's talk a little bit about where you were in your life. It was a very dark time for you after you were going through this divorce. Your husband died?
So, yeah, I kind of look at it and think that 7 years ago, my life just completely imploded. Everything that I had known suddenly fell apart. My husband and I were together for 14 years. And the last 5 years of our marriage were riddled with a lot of struggle, a lot of arguing. I worked a lot. And I also, during that time, as much as we were struggling, I really wanted to be a mother and have children. Mm-hmm. And I did many rounds of IVF, and I wasn't able to have children. And I was also grappling with this kind of coming to a place of peace with knowing I wouldn't have my own children.
Okay.
And I then had to look at our marriage and say, so much isn't working. And the home situation was not a positive one anymore. And when we separated, first you do feel like you've lost your limb, because with or without good times, you still love that person.
Sure, and of course.
You still, cherish the time you had, and you still kind of look at yourself and blame yourself for all the things that go wrong, because I think we as women do that as a whole, but I am definitely somebody who always I'm a self-blamer.
I'm not, but go on.
I wish I wasn't. I would love some of that. You know, my business partner is not either. And I was like, how do I get some of that?
Well, I'll blame myself when it's due, but I'm very, very good at being clear-eyed, because who needs that weight on
level.
Your shoulders?
I'm a weight carrier.
Okay, I'll teach you later how
please,
to do it.
Please.
Okay, go on.
That's another podcast.
Exactly.
And when we were separated, he passed away. And I can't explain the level of nervous breakdown I had. It was a crippling, like earth-shattering.
May I ask, was it a traumatic death? What?
He struggled with mental health issues.
Okay.
And it was related.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if it was on purpose or not.
Okay.
I know that there were pills involved. And even hearing there were pills involved was something that shook me to my core.
Well, sure, because when you're going through a separation and someone does that, you immediately, and I would too, think, I'm at fault for this mm-hmm. in certain ways.
And I also never knew that there was a pill in this man's life. So I wondered, I don't know, was he on? Where maybe that was part of the problem for the years. I don't know. I'll never know. You're left with so many questions. You're left with, I was left with a level of a self-loathing that I can't explain, because I started to replay every minute of our relationship and wonder what I didn't see. Where did I go wrong? How could I have done something different? How could I have communicated differently? You know, nobody's perfect and nobody does things exactly the way that they want to when they look in retrospect, but you regret so much until you get to the place in your life where you say, I can't carry regret because that doesn't help me, but I can grow and I can learn and I can forgive myself. But it was literally like chop me off at my knees. I was wiped out and I fell into a very dark depression. And I wasn't happy anywhere in my life. I really looked around and I thought, am I happy going into work? the answer was not yes, even though I had created a company that was very successful in so many ways and from the surface financially. But my soul was empty for a really long time. And I think I was overworking to make up for an empty soul.
Okay. At least you recognize that.
I saw it. And then in my months of grieving, and I was grieving. Like, I was waking up in the middle of the night crying. I was collapsing through the day. I was just breaking at every which turn. And I'm not a substance user, so I don't have a glass of wine. I don't take a sleeping pill. I was just in that raw feeling of all these things.
Brutal.
And the good news is that I believe the only way out is through. So I knew that if I escaped those emotions through something, I would have to come back to those emotions.
Anyway.
So I just was in them and trying to understand, how do you live with this kind of pain? And I was getting a lot of help. And the day of the Parkland school shooting, and this is something I didn't really tell anybody, but I felt my niece, who my cousin, it was my first cousin's daughter. She was 14 and a freshman. And when we heard there was a shooting, I just felt her all day saying, "It's okay. Todd is with me. He's taking care of me." And I was like, you can't tell people that. They think you're, and no, everybody wants to hold on to hope. I wanted to hold on to hope until it was confirmed. And when I talked to her mother the next day, she said, "I felt Todd all day saying, 'I have your daughter. I'm taking care of her.'" And I was like, I felt Alyssa all day saying, "Todd is taking care of me." It was like this very weird, I have chills all over my body right now. It's very surreal. And you don't even realize the impact of that grief until you're at the funeral of a 14-year-old girl who was taken in math class for just sitting in school and seeing her get buried was like a level of pain that just took my original grief and just hammered me down even lower. And you're watching people you care about in pain. You're watching her parents in pain, Alyssa's grandparents, who are my aunt and uncle, in pain. I'm watching, you know, all night of the shooting, I'm watching on the phone with my brother, and he's like, "We're at another hospital. She's not here. We're at another hospital.
Oh,
she's not."
God.
Like, it's all very harrowing. And I was literally saying, how do I hold this pain? How does one carry themselves every day and put it aside and function? And then I started thinking, at that time, I was in my mid-late 40s, how do I get through the next 40-something years? Because I'm going to be holding pain and missing and loss. Like, that doesn't go away. Grief is not linear. So how do I get through it? And this is where you say my life changed when my friend Melissa came by with her daughter, who at the time was 10. Melissa and her husband, Mike, were the three of us. Her daughter, Melissa, and Mike and I are really close. And I am married again, as a side note. So I found my way through and have a lovely, wonderful, warm, supportive, understanding husband.
Thank gosh.
But when Melissa and Mike came over, their daughter at the time was 10, and Maddie had slime with her. And I grew up with slime in the 70s. So 1976, first slime came out. I was 4. Mattel, trash can. There were slimes with worms and eyeballs. I had all of them. I can fully remember the arguments in my house with my mother because it was in my hair. It was on the sofa. It's probably a lot like the arguments people are having today with their children. So I said, "Maddie, I have to see your slime." I knew there was a culture and a zeitgeist around this handmade slime. I knew there were billions of views on YouTube, but I hadn't experienced it.
Okay.
Maddie and I sat on the floor, and all I know is that suddenly Melissa said, "All right, well, we have to go." And I was like, "You just got here." And she said, "You've been playing with my daughter for 4 hours." I had no idea 4 hours passed.
Really? Seriously?
4 hours. The only time I really got off the floor was at one point we were drizzling slime off the roof of my building. So I was – what I realized happened to me was the version of me as a 7-year-old came back out in all her glory, and I forgot for that period of time about all the pain I was in. It was just gone. I was just playing. And I was mesmerized by the way the slime looked, by the way it felt, by the sounds it made when you did different things to it. She was explaining to me that there's 15 main textures, and then you mix and match the textures. So I was like, it's this never-ending algorithm of creation. And they were all scented. So I was blending the one that smelled like sugar cereal with the one that smelled like ice cream and being like, this is like a different fragrance. It's like mixing Jelly Bellies. Like, we were just playing. And when she left, I said, please let me keep some. And where do I get more? So I ironically, although I'm not somebody who touches substances, I have an addictive personality with like my favorite dessert or things that other things I love. So sure. I became addicted. And I started to order slimes from kids, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, all over the internet. I found 56-year-old women selling slime, and I started to buy and amass enormous amounts of slime.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back. I know a lot of you have had this experience because for those of us who in 2020 were all sent home and we were stuck in a lockdown during the pandemic, we had a lot of time on our hands, and I saw an ad for Masterclass and I thought, I want to better myself. I want access to all of these brilliant people who teach you things. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with more than 200 plus of the world's best and smartest. For just under 10 bucks a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And I don't care, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to learn about business. And then another where you say, I want to learn how to survive in the wild if I have no water and no fire to make me warm. You can access Masterclass on your phone, on your computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. And the classes totally make a difference. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Liz. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Liz. Masterclass.com/Liz. And is your second husband at this point saying, okay, yeah. So Karen, that's really nice, but what the hell?
Yeah, he was literally like, there is slime is everywhere in this house. And I met him when I was separated. And, you know, when all of this happened to me and or around me, I said to him, you should run. Don't, like, stay here. I have nothing to give you. I can't even remotely give you anything. And he literally was afraid to leave because he was afraid that I wouldn't make it. And I say that with no levity. I'm very open about this because there are other people out there struggling, and other people will go through horrible things.
Absolutely.
And you don't think you're going to make it, and you can. It just takes a really long road. And I look back and think the road wasn't as long as I thought, and sometimes it's longer than I thought. Mm-hmm. But I do know I've managed to find a way, and it doesn't mean I don't still have grief, because I still have grief. And I feel grief today. I felt grief on my way here. I'll feel grief, I'm sure, next week. You always have reminders that are painful.
It doesn't go away.
But at the same time, I've now found a way to experience joy again. And this simplicity of playing with something with my hands that smells good, that feels good, that looks good when I stretch it, when I squeeze
it. That's the sound you guys are hearing.
Yeah.
She, from the start of telling this story, you know, first I want our listeners to know, you put it back in to its container. And then when you started to talk about your first husband dying,
I picked it back up.
You picked it up and you were looking at me straight. It was almost like you didn't realize you were doing it. Does the sensory perception of holding that somehow soothe
Yes. The
very sharp, bloody edges of grief?
That is exactly, for me, that is exactly what it does. And I find myself grabbing it whenever I'm talking about things that are difficult, mm-hmm. even outside of this, because it isn't, there's something about keeping your hands busy where I'm still present and I'm with you, but I'm not letting my grief rule me. I'm like kind of owning it, and I'm calming myself at the same time. And I find that it is an incredibly useful tool and way to manage a lot of my emotions. And I don't believe in having any shame around that in my 50s, because it's whatever works that gets you through that. You know, I see really clearly. I'm not avoiding anything. I'm in it, but it's keeping me grounded.
Okay, so how do you go from that
to
your husband saying, "Hun, it's kind of taking over the house"?
Oh, he was literally like, we weren't married at this time, but he was literally like, "Your kitchen is overrun with slime. You would be on like a hoarder show." And I had like hundreds of slimes everywhere.
So how does that pivot to let me make a business?
So what started to happen was my creativity came back to me. And I started imagining a brand collaboration, like Hi Chew, a candy brand. Oh my God, imagine a flavor of slime that smells like their candy and you work together and you're both offering it. I started imagining what is the fashion world, what is the beauty world, what like the colors, the scent. I just started, Taylor Swift, you have a new fragrance. It should be in a slime. This is how you market to tweens.
Ooh, like, these are good ideas.
This was what was bubbling for me. And I have a really close friend of 16 years. Her name is Sarah. Sarah and I went through tumultuous periods at the same time.
Okay.
So a year before I lost my husband, her husband woke up at the time he was about 50 and had bilateral strokes, and it led to a brain injury.
Oh, no.
And he is now unable to speak, and he was a TED talker, and he also can't do really any activities of daily living on his own. So he can't get dressed on his own. He can't feed himself. He can't, you know, open the door. He in a way, he lost his life, but in another, he's an unbelievable person. He actually recently produced and directed a film about his experience by saying he can say yes and no. Mm-hmm. And it traveled in a special needs film festival.
Oh, wow.
They have two daughters. Their oldest is now 16, and she has a rare genetic syndrome called Angelman syndrome. Angelman syndrome is an interesting side effect of Angelman syndrome, or a symptom, is happiness. So her daughter is very joyful, and she has this incredible ray of sunshine and loves laughing and dancing. But she's also really limited and can't do any activities of daily living. So she, too, cannot feed herself, go to the restroom on her own, speak, etc. And Sarah went from having one person at home in that way to two. And she also has a daughter who's now 12, who she was like, I want my daughter to remember her father as this, you know, big man speaking and doing things. And you also need to give that daughter just as much attention as she always had. So Sarah had this enormous level of stress on her. And I called her and said, I know this sounds crazy, but I got to come over with some slime. Like, we just need to play.
Okay.
When was the last time you played? She was like, I don't remember. So I came over with a bag of my slime, and we sat on the floor, and the two of us were just giddy and laughing. And then we started to see how her two daughters were playing together, and the communication through play was so beautiful. Seeing her daughter, who is neurodiverse and has physical diversity, interact with her other daughter and be in the same sort of playing field, if you will, and communicate, it was like a light bulb went off for both of us.
Which told you what?
We need to bring this to people. I just said people need to understand the joy of what we're doing. And we were like, okay, so what are we doing? And I was like, well, it's not just about slime. Mm-hmm. It's that we're experiencing all these different textures. So it could be one of the 15 or never-ending textures of slime, but it could be other compounds or kinetic sand. It was, what does it smell like? And one of the slimes we were playing with smelled like Fruit Loops cereal.
Okay.
So when she smelled it, she was like, I am at the table and I am fighting with my brothers because there's one bowl left and it's who gets it. And I was like, I'm at the table and fighting with my mother because I'm only allowed one bowl a month and I want more. And we were both transported to childhood and these fun, silly memories.
Now, if you make Captain Crunch flavor,
I'm
right there with you.
Without the ripped up roof of your mouth.
Oh, I'm
remember
right there. Oh, yeah.
Happened?
Oh, yeah. It would shred the top.
Yes.
But I didn't care.
I didn't care. Crunch berries, please. Would never care.
Count Chocula. Slime. I like it.
Exactly. So we just started to get so excited. And some of the slimes we have these beautiful, we call them clay toppers. They're little things that are made of clay. It could be sushi. It could be donuts. It could be a popsicle. It could be a birthday cake. Fill in the blank. But and then you smush it into the slime. So I was like, imagine the artist. Imagine the lipstick. Imagine the shoes. We were taking clear slime and smushing old lipsticks in it to turn it red. We were just experimenting. So Sarah and I are both the kind of people who really don't think twice when we want to do something, and we both just divide and conquer and do it. So she was literally like, I'm going to call my real estate person and find us a space. I was like, I'm going to call my branding person and we're going to think of a name and I'll get an operating agreement and a lawyer. And how much money do you have saved? Can you put in? Let me see how much I can scramble together. And it was a scramble. I don't have a trust fund. I've worked since I was 22. I barely take any time off. I was like, let's just find anything we can.
Richard Branson says, screw it, just do it.
Just, that is my biggest, when people say, what advice would you say? I always say, mama chicks push the baby out of the nest. They will fly.
Yes.
If you don't, you will pick yourself back up and get back up there and try again.
Yeah.
So before we knew it, we were signing a lease on 12,000 square feet in Soho.
What?
And we were like, let's just do a pop-up. We could figure this out. We flew to Atlanta. We got in front of the team at Elmer's Glue because we make all of our slime with Elmer's Glue. And we said, we have to partner with you. We're going to create a world where people are going to play and enjoy what you make in a new way. We know my background is a lot around storytelling, marketing, communications. Like, I knew how to tell the story through social media. I knew how to contact and get in touch with the influencers. I knew the media landscape. I knew that we needed to actually share our personal stories because we were doing this because we were getting something out of it that we wanted others to experience. And this is obviously before the pandemic, before everything, I said, people are really afraid to talk about mental health because they're afraid other people will judge them. And I was like, I've never been afraid to talk about pain or if I need help or I was in a depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make this loud because I want people to know you can have a really amazing life and get through it. And she said for her, what was important is opening the veil around neurodiversity. She, you know, growing up, when I think about how I grew up, anyone who was neurodiverse on an autism spectrum, and I say quote unquote different because I don't necessarily believe like anything is normal or not normal.
Right,
just,
or disabled. It's differently
it's
abled.
It's just differently abled. Sure. And we were in different schools on different buses. I didn't really know anyone until I met her daughter. And meeting her daughter really changed me because it changed how I saw people. And I believe her daughter actually knows everything we talk about.
So when you built it, did they come?
We hired somebody that Sarah already had working for her in her previous life because we're both serial entrepreneurs. So we hired somebody who is neurodiverse and we saw the benefit of that for us as humans. And we were like, this is going to not only benefit other people who work with him, but it will benefit when families come in one day and they see his face and say, this means my child who is like this could have a job. We opened our tickets on the first day, and somehow the ticket platform had double sold the tickets. There were 6,000 people. I'm not kidding.
You're lying.
I'm not kidding.
6,000?
6,000 people.
In a 12,000 square foot place.
Yes. I mean, we managed getting and we managed throughput, but we looked at each other and we were like, what are we doing? And we had the world's first industrial slime kitchen in our basement where we had Hobart industrial mixers you'd see in a bakery. We were, you know, mixing up the glue and we had scents from everything from birthday cake and double fudge brownie and chocolate chip cookie to lychee and lavender and spearmint eucalyptus and, you know, dirt, like just things that would get people talking because part of our experience was smelling everything.
And what they do, just so people know, is they come inside the Institute and they get slime kits and supplies and then they just start playing with everything like slime stations and a slime slingshot. What else can they do?
So there's we call it Lake Slumu, where it's about 500 gallons of cloud slime, which is the slime you're playing with.
Oh my gosh.
And I call
it's so soft.
It's so soft and fluffy and squishy.
And it doesn't stick.
And it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
You have to clean your feet with alcohol wipes that we have.
Okay.
And then you walk on it. And I kid you not, it feels like you're in a spa. And there's an area where you design your own slime. So you pick from 8 different textures, you pick from 60 different scents, and there's a wall where you're smelling all the scents. And our purpose, this wall has these amorphic shapes coming out of it. They're really like flowers. So for us, it's the subliminal message where you're actually stopping to smell the flowers. And these, what I hear of kids saying, oh, this smells like grandma, or oh, the husband might say, this reminds me of our honeymoon. And you're triggering memories through scent. There's an area where it's all about listening to hashtag satisfying ASMR sounds, whether it's typing or fingernail tapping, but it's all about those soothing sounds.
This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Klayman. Just go to Indeed.com/Klayman right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Klayman. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When did you look at this success of this business and think to yourself, I want to open another one?
To be honest, in the first week, we said, it was like that scene in Jaws where we looked at each other. We said, we're going to need a bigger boat. And I think what I realized started to happen for me along the way of making this brand is I started to get so much healing. And everything in this world that we've created is intentional. The colors, we think about the color therapy. What does this color make you feel like? What triggers creativity? What triggers soothing? What triggers excitement? What triggers energy? What triggers creativity? Everything is intentional. And even the cadence through which you go, navigate the space is intentional for your, it's really exciting, it's really exciting. Now you've like made your slime and then you listen to, in New York anyway, you listen to the ASMR sounds. Now you're kind of like coming down a little bit and you're getting into like a little bit of a chill mood. So everything is super, super intentional. And even the architecture and the way that we've designed, because everything is bespoke and really informed by our sensibility around design and art. And that's a big love of ours and something we share as friends, a passion that we've always shared together.
How long did it take you to become profitable?
So this is going to sound crazy, but we were profitable after the first month.
Okay. Listeners, that did not happen.
But what is, difficult, we went through 5 months and we also donated a portion of our proceeds back to mental health charities.
Wonderful.
We made it from day one an effort to say we want our workforce to be not just diverse, but also neurodiverse. We really wove our missions and what was important to us as humans through our company. But when COVID hit and, you're a brand new company and you find yourself.
And you're touching and feet
you're touching
and
feeling,
hands.
And you refund $500,000 worth of tickets.
Oof.
That, by the way, we didn't pay ourselves. So we didn't, during this time where we said we're making money, we did not take a paycheck.
Okay.
We said we will pay ourselves later. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. And thankfully, we're the kind of people who think about the business before ourselves, because the cushion is what helped us get through COVID. We also were able to renegotiate our lease. We also took a step back and said, now, what is the larger strategy for this company? What do we want to do? Because COVID won't be forever. And we started to think through what's our next 20 steps and mm-hmm. what is the path to get there? What kind of materials do we need when we want to go out and fund do a capital raise? What are the locations? What are we going to look for in locations? Who is really our audience?
And your locations expanded to Chicago, Atlanta, and Houston. Why those markets?
So, and then LA is going to be late summer.
Woo! My hometown!
I know, you have to come
visit.
My
hometown!
So we really choose our cities by what is the population, what is the family population, is this a tourism market, does this city pull from other cities because there are other things to do. So a city like Chicago, you're pulling from South Bend, you're pulling from Detroit, there's 3-hour drives all around the city where people will come because there's so much to do. So the idea that you can come to us and there's 20 other things to do nearby is something that's important to us. And that's really how we chose. We also had some data science around ticketed experiences in the cities that we expanded to.
Which leads me to, how much is a ticket?
So there's two different prices. I say the average ticket is $50 because it's $39, but there's also tax and there's admin fee. We don't own our ticketing platform. It's like all tickets. And there's a lot of transparency laws now around being upfront about admin fee.
Sure.
So the general admission ticket winds up being close to $50.
And what do I get for that?
You are in our space anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours. So it is a lot like seeing a movie. You leave with a $20 or $18 slime that you've designed on your own, which your memory of your experience and something you take home with you. And you know what the best part of our experience is? While you're there, I notice it all the time. Somewhere around halfway through, phones go away. People start getting in with both hands. And I've heard from countless children, I feel seen by my parents because they're doing something I love. And then I hear parents say, I didn't want to buy a ticket. I hate slime. And you know what? I needed this more than my kid did. Or we've had 89-year-olds say, I feel younger than I have in decades. I want to come back with my friends. We've had many, many groups who are neurodiverse come through.
Blind people would love it.
Love it. I mean, we've had every walk of life, and we really think through how do we accommodate. I mean, we have in our space now these little maps of our, if you're hard of hearing, we have maps that explain everything, and they're in multiple languages, but we've now saying, how do we do it in Braille so somebody could? And it's like, you can't chop off like every single thing off your list on day one. And these things take a long time.
Sure.
And they also, frankly, take money and people. And we're still very, very lean. Like, I write the newsletters. I community manage on weekends on our social media. You know, Sarah and I are in every single kind of major decision of the company while we're guiding the larger growth of the company. And we're really good about staying in our individual lanes and respecting each other's intelligence where we have it and share sort of brand vision, design, experience, what we want guests to feel.
Give me your dream scenario 5 years from now. How many markets are you in? How have you expanded? You said you have 60 different kinds of slime or flavors, scents?
Scents. But then you mix and match.
So, well, of course you mix and match.
So in 5 years, we would like 10 major locations in this country. And I don't want to bite off more than we can chew. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you need 50 of them, right? So we have 10 major ones. We'll have licensed and opened Slimu in Japan and Slimu in Korea and Slimu in China and Slimu in Dubai and through the Middle East and in Australia and New Zealand. I mean, these are Brazil. That I think is a huge opportunity for our growth. And the other piece is something that we're working on that we really haven't talked much about is I'm going back to my friend Melissa, who came over with slime to my house. And she is also a stroke survivor and she and her husband are incredible authors. So we really believe that there is an enormous opportunity for our character, who is called Slimu. Slimu is a character and a species. And there's a whole host of family and friends to the
character.
A mascot
of sorts.
A mascot. So we have a blow-up costume. Our mascot is in our space. The way people go out and see Sesame Street Live, I see Slimu with songs and dancing and getting families to come out together and move. Dancing and mental health are so tied together. I see a whole media universe coming out of this that is about healthy, joyful content, lessons of inclusion and mental wellness without being didactic.
I have to tell you, Karen, you are filling this entire studio.
With the scent of ice cream?
No, you're little. And you and your energy and your enthusiasm are exploding out from you. And for somebody who was broken and in a puddle on the floor after such horrors, it is such an inspiration.
Thank you.
And I cannot thank you enough for telling this particular story to our listeners. You at one point stopped and you said, I'm really open about this because I'm sure a lot of your listeners have felt this and there is a way through, and the way through is to go through, but you will come out the other side. I just want to thank you for opening up your heart and your story to them.
Thank you for listening. I mean, I think everyone's going to go through pain. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And It's still hard. I have all this joy around this, but it's still hard. I mean, I had to go on antidepressants when things were really bad, and ever since then I've been afraid to go off of them because I was like, what if I get depressed again? Like, not that it's, but like, that's real.
Yes.
And you can be successful and thrive and have a life and balance it with you're still making peace with certain things. And I think for Sarah, she's really showing her daughters that mom can do this.
Oh, this is the best. And this slime, so I just want to describe it. It's yellow, magenta, and orange. It smells so good. I really want to eat it, but you said don't, so I won't. Darn it. And I got to come to the Soho.
You have
the Soho
to come.
Location.
And you have to come to when we open LA. It's across the street.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be amazing. Oh, at the Grove.
It's across the street.
Okay, everybody, get ready. This fall, Slimu Institute. Check it out. And I know you guys have, wherever you are listening to this, really cleaved yourself to this story. And I don't think I'm going to add anything else because Karen did it all.
Thank you.
Karen Robinovitz, thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
And your whole group and your team and the world to you. It's just wonderful. You guys, what did I start with? I started with saying I just ran out off the set from my show. And every day I'm right there, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on the Claim and Countdown. I hope you'll tune into that and spread the word. Spread the word about these stories on Everyone Talks to Liz. You don't know who you really might be helping or even saving. I'll see you next time. Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.